Hello, everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 112, recording on October 18th, 2020. PlayStation UI has been revealed, and we're talking that, and games, and stuff, and movies, and things. We've got a whole show for you, and to do that, I have with me, as always, Mr. Shannon Just a Little More.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, doing all right. How about yourself?
Oh, it's all right. You know, I'm a little flabbergasted by, like, us having the hottest day of the year in October. But, you know, yeah. I've been conditioned for this. My body is
prepared. October's really doing a 95 and a 50, you know? It's getting rough around here.
Yeah, it's gross.
Someone that knows all about doing 95s in 95s is Mr. Justin Time Carter. Justin, how you doing?
Doing pretty good, you know? It's actually been, like, we had the, sliding glass door open and stuff earlier with a little, fresh air. Like, I mean, it wasn't, like, cool, but it was probably, like, in the high 80s, which is, like, I don't know, your guys' normal 60s.
yeah.
Like, that was chill for me. I was like, ooh. I'm like, I have to get a jacket out of the closet. It's, like, 86 in here.
Anytime you are rocking with the windows and doors open, I can imagine that's a good day. So,
hey, quick question. You live out in the heat all the time, Justin. During the October timeframe when it is pumpkin carving time, like, how do you keep your pumpkin from not dying in the severe heat?
So, like, it's been a few years since I've carved pumpkins, but normally the way we always did it at my parents' house and stuff was, like, we literally didn't carve pumpkins until, like, the week of Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, we just do it, like, that Sunday night or whatever, like, Saturday weekend before. And then usually by the first week of November, it was looking a little rough. And then you just, like, launch it into the street.
Yeah, I carved a pumpkin last weekend with my son, and we put it outside, and, like, with just, like, this heat, it was dead. Like, I mean, gross dead, like, oozing dead by this Saturday. It was so, yeah, that's the second pumpkin we've gone through, and, you know, and each one has lasted a week, so maybe there's some theory there. But, you know, I heard, like, some people were saying, oh, if you spray, like, hairspray in it, like, that'll make it last longer because it'll dry it out on the inside. It'll also probably make it, like, a flaming, like, you know, catastrophe when you actually go to put a candle in there.
Why? But, I mean, why would you carve pumpkins that early?
Dude, like, you gotta enjoy the season, right? Like, I don't know. I just don't like...
Hey, you know what? If I took a head of broccoli and put it out in front of my house for a month, guess what? That's just rotting too. Like, it's dude. Like,
it's like November 12th, and Shannon's, like, putting his Christmas tree up, and it's, like, November, like, 23rd, and he's like, I don't understand why my Christmas tree's already dead, guys.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, totally.
Hey, I'm allergic to Christmas trees, so I could put my goddamn Christmas tree up in November and have it be fine, because it's fake as hell. So, like, it's just gonna be fine in Christmas. That's why I don't have any baseline, is because I'm allergic to most things that, like, grow that are seasonally related, except for freaking pumpkins. So, like, you know, I thought I'd get an early jump on it.
No, I'm not accepting that. Absolutely not. You buy produce. Like, a pumpkin is a vegetable. Like, bro, I mean, you think this shit is...
Wait, hold on. Can I just tell you right now, for, like, the past, like, 2 years, due to my certain living situation that I'm in, my mom has been doing the grocery shopping, so I've not bought produce in, like, 2 years. Like, I've forgotten, like, the shelf life of certain produce, okay?
Again, no. You are 40. Like, no, I'm sorry. This is not... acceptable. These are unacceptable answers. Like, you are a father. Like, come on, man. What are you doing?
Dude, I like how Shannon's, like, allergic to, like, pine trees and, like, healthy shit, but he'll down a fucking six pack of gingerbread Mountain Dew, yeah, and his body's completely unfazed by it.
Hey, your body adapts, it survives, it overcomes. That's all I gotta say.
You're like the carp.
that Mountain Dew has pickled his insides. Like, It's gonna be, you know, nuclear fallout. There'll be cockroaches, Keith Richards, and Shannon just running around.
Coming for you, Keith.
Coming for you. But yeah, no, bro. Like, what are you doing carving if it's single digit days in October, you should not be carving pumpkins.
Like, why don't you just like carve, next one you carve, just get a block of dry ice and just dump that shit in there, see if that helps it.
Now, to be fair, you could leave them whole and set them outside and they'll last for probably a month. Like whole pumpkins last forever, but as soon as you slice into it, it's done, dude. Like the clock has started, you know.
But whatever, it made good pumpkin bread, it made good pumpkin seeds. Like I got what I wanted out of it. Gabe got what he wanted.
And you know, you got a nice rotting corpse of a jack-o'-lantern on your step. Which
Shannon,
very fitting of the season.
Shannon's out there on Halloween with his like melted pumpkins, handing out spoonfuls of scrambled eggs to all the kids.
Scrambled eggs. Like, but it's from the powder. You know, so it's like the block of eggs.
He was like, everyone stick your hands out, everyone gets one spoonful, no fighting.
here, give me your bags. I've got salt and pepper packets.
Yeah. It's like dashing paprika on it. Like a deviled egg in their hands. Like, this house sucks.
All right, now that we're here, what's the worst Halloween candy? Like, what was the one that when it hit your bag, you were like, son of a bitch.
Dude, I hated when I got a toothbrush. Like, fuck those guys. Like, don't tell me how to live with my teeth. Like, you know, this is Halloween. I want candy from you. Don't give me a freaking toothbrush.
Dude, I never got a toothbrush, but the shit I always like, I like certain old candy, like bottle caps, and like sometimes we'd get like sugar babies and stuff. Like, I fucks with those. But then you get like the Smarties and like the Tootsie Rolls that are like hard as a fucking rock that have been there for like four Halloweens. And those suck. I'm like, no one wants like a plain ass Tootsie Roll. Like, get some actual candy.
Well, and like the Tootsie Roll that was their kids that they never ate, and so they're
here,
you know.
Yeah, like, I think we got some extra candy floating around here some way. We're not buying more candy this year.
Get those jawbreakers that you could tell were purple, but now they're kind of bluish because like the dye is just like fading.
They're like, you go to open the bag and nothing falls out. It's like the plastic is like used in the candy.
See, I'm kind of all right with the Smarties. I can get down with some Smarties, but like, as someone that doesn't like coconut, anytime I got like the Mounds or Almond Joy, I was just like, you rat bastards. Like,
yeah, those are pretty bad.
I mean, I guess if you like coconut, they're rad, I've been told, but I do not.
Mothballs, those things with like the chalky, dried out bullshit in the middle that's covered in chocolate. Like, those were just so dissatisfying. Whoppers, to get to. Whoppers.
Yeah,
like those people did, like that was like the, oh, I guess I have to get candy for Halloween, but I don't really give a shit about like what I'm giving people.
Or when my kids were kids in 1958, they loved these. So
yeah.
Dude, what are your guys' feelings on candy corn?
I'm all right with it. Like, I don't get the like overwhelming candy corn hate that it gets, but I would never choose to eat candy corn, but like, it's not like offensive to me, you know?
See, I'll agree. I actually like candy corn, but even more so, I like Indian corn.
I don't know.
Instead of the white, orange, yellow, it's a white, orange, and like brown.
Okay.
It has kind of like a more kind of like chocolatey kind of like taste to it. True. It tastes different. It hits a little different.
I mean, it sounds horribly racist, but I'm with you.
But I mean, that was the trade. They gave us their land and we named corn after them. It was a fair trade.
Hey, Justin, when you were a kid, did they still call it sitting Indian style?
Yeah. I mean,
was it crisscross?
So it was like, I had some teachers, like, it was both. I think most of them did crisscross applesauce.
Yeah.
But I think I specifically remember, I think in like kindergarten or first grade, having like a teacher or two that would be like, all right, gather around, sit down, Indian style. Like,
yeah. Because when I was a kid, it was Indian style. And then it's one of those things, like, obviously that stops being a thing when you're like 8, you know, fast forward decades, a phrase I had forgotten about, never even considered at all in my adult life. And I go to get my son from preschool and they're like, okay, gather around, crisscross applesauce, and I see all the kids sit down with that, and it totally was one of those moments where I'm like, oh yeah, that term is racist as hell. Like, holy shit, like, I never even considered that. Like, oh my god. Like, it was just one of those, like, light bulb went off moments, you know? And I'm like, of course they don't call it Indian style anymore. Holy shit. Like, yeah. It was pretty funny, though. Because my wife, obviously, was just like, no one calls it that. What's wrong with you? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, I haven't considered this in, like, 30 years. Why would I think of it? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It was funny.
Awesome. That's cool.
Janet's like, I don't know where to go from here.
I'm just trying to save there from being some like awkward silence, dead air, but you know.
That's on your soundboard. Do you have a full soundboard?
I do, but I'm saving it sparingly. I don't want to be one of those annoying guys that has like a brand new toy and is just like blowing everybody up with like all the freaking sounds that I have on my board. You know, it's got to wait.
All right. Use it sparingly then.
Exactly.
So. Getting us back on course, did either one of you manage to get a pre-order for a PS5?
Fuck no.
Justin, were you just going to try to go, like, day of and see if you could get one? Or what were you...
Yeah, I've never pre-ordered a console before, but there's, like, this... there's this Target that I used to work at that's kind of out... It's, like, 30 minutes away from, like, where we live, but it's kind of out in BFE, and it's the same one that we would go to on Black Friday and stuff, because, like, it's all just, like, Scottsdale moms and trophy wives and stuff, so, like, the video game section's usually pretty untouched, so that's, like, the one probably, like, day of I'm gonna try and go to see if I can get a PS5.
Alright. Well, because that's coming up here, man. That's what, it's, like, a month, basically?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right around a month, and we finally got to see what the UI looks like. Mm-hmm. Like, they finally debuted what the hell that looks like when you're playing, when you boot up and all that stuff. And I think it's a pretty slick-looking setup. It's so the main takeaways is essentially there's a new control center aspect of it, and they had the thing I thought that was cool was that a lot of when you're playing, when you hit the PS button, like on the PS4, when you hit the PS button, you know, it takes you out of the game into the main console menu and you can do your stuff from there. This, it appears over the game. So it pauses the game and just pulls it up, but it never takes you out of the game. And the reason that's good is because they've added things like activities. So which appear to be tied to trophies. It was kind of nebulous on the kind of UI walkthrough. But what I thought was really cool about that was they had things in activities where, say it was like gather 5 of these, it would give you a percentage and an estimated time. So it's like pulling data from all the users that have gotten that trophy or gotten this achievement and essentially been like, oh, it takes the average person this amount of time to do this. And for someone like me that has not looked at trophies or achievements in a long, long time, that's a pretty interesting carrot. Because if I pull up something on Ratchet and Clank and I'm just playing through the game, but they're like, oh, but you could get this trophy and it would only take you 10 more minutes, I'd probably do it just because it's like, oh, well, shit, I'm already there. Like, I'm halfway there. I might as well grab the trophy. And then another thing that I thought was interesting, and they really kind of glossed over it, but if you have PS Plus, you have access to a hint system, which you can pull up like written hints or videos and stuff, but you can pop it in like picture in a picture or pin it to the side of the screen and watch the video of the walkthrough about like where, how to get certain things or like where this item is. And then you can do it in the game. And for someone that, like me, that does look up shit on Google because I just don't want to take the time to find it in the game. It's like, no, I just want to get the thing and move on. I find that extremely useful. Like that was one of those items when I saw it, I was like, oh shit, that's really smart. Like how come no one has thought of that or done that before? And I see that as a thing that can be copied in mass by like Nintendo, Microsoft, whoever, Steam, whatever. That was just one of those like, yeah, that seems super obvious to me. You guys have any thoughts about the UI stuff?
Yeah, I liked the look of it. I liked the speed of everything that what he was being able to like jump around and do, you know, like jumping between games and doing all that stuff. seem pretty smooth and effortless. I don't know why I would want to watch somebody else playing a game while I'm playing a game. Like, that just kind of seemed like a, like, I don't know, maybe I'm out of touch with the what the kids are doing nowadays as far as, like, playing and streaming. But, like, I don't know, it just kind of seemed a little extra. You know, if I'm playing a video game, the last thing I want is to see another video game that I'm not playing in the lower corner of my screen. Mm-hmm. But the communication seemed pretty fun, you know, as far as being able to jump into chats with, like, your friends or, like, you know, you see what they're doing, be privy to, like, game invites that are going to be pretty fast that aren't going to, you know, be super clumsy or weird to, like, get into. I don't know how well that functionality is going to work when you're playing a game that's kind of, you know, that's online, that there is no, like, pause feature or safe spot for you to really kind of settle into to answer somebody's question or game invite. Like a Destiny or something like that might be a little bit harder to use those functions from. But, you know, the rest of it seemed cool as far as, you know, the ability to take screenshots and upload them real fast. I think it's, they're focusing on the streamers and the, you know, the people that are going to be using this for, you know, streaming video games. And I agree with a lot of the stuff that they're doing, and I like it. I got excited for it. Justin, what'd you think?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with Zach. Like, I'm honestly with the whole, like, little thing coming up or whatever, you know, to, like, you can pull up a video to see kind of, like, what you need to do and stuff. Like, I'm honestly surprised that, like, Nintendo hasn't done so. That is a very Nintendo thing that I think Absolutely. That they would do. And I'm almost surprised they haven't done that, because it's like, you know, I look up shit, like, all the time. It's like, you know, if you're, like, in an area, you want to make sure, like, maybe, like, you got everything or something, because you don't want to go back, like, realize you forgot something and have to go back later. Or, like, whatever, if you get stuck on something, you know, just, like, that's anymore. Like, I remember the days of, like, GameFAQ and stuff like that, you know, to, like, pull up, like, a walkthrough. And now you just go on YouTube, type whatever level you're on for whatever game, and you can pull up, like, a, hey, guys, this is whatever, and you can just see it. So it'd be cool, like, not have to deal with, like, that annoying. They have just a clean where it's, like, no one talking, where it's, like, you could just see what you need to do. You don't have, hit that, smash that like and subscribe button, whatever. You just get in, get out, see what you need to see. Like, you don't have to listen to the dude's dubstep fucking intro to just see, like, what you're missing in the level. Like, I really like that. And, like, with the achievement thing, that is interesting. I don't really, like, I don't hunt for achievements or really anything like that. Like, I don't particularly care. But, you know, I know there's a lot of people who do. So that's kind of cool, because sometimes you never really know what the achievement is, you know, to get it. So it's kind of cool if it prompts you, like, hey, if you, like, do this one thing while you're here, you can actually score this. So that's nice, since I'm having to keep, like, okay, what's the next achievement I need to do? And keep having, like, look back and forth for it.
Now, you gotta wonder if that's something, though, like, the real achievement hunter, like Mr. Platinum, like, is that something he's gonna actually like, or is he gonna be like, oh, you're ruining it, you know, you're, like, making it so easy?
Yeah, but that's kind of where I was at.
That's what's nice, though, is I'm assuming you can turn it off, so it's like,
I mean, you don't have to use it.
Yeah, but so it's like, if you want it, it's there. And, like, you know, he might be, like, all hardcore and be like, oh, it sucks, I don't want it. And then, like, secretly, like, turns it on because he's like, all right, I fucking love this. It's going to tell me, like, you know.
Like, well, I mean, it's got to make it so much easier, right? Because, like, in some of them, like, if you just clicked on the achievement, like, if you had already progressed far enough in the game to where you could just do that thing, like, it just dropped you there to be like, okay, do this thing. Like, that's what it seemed like. It just kind of took you to where you needed to be to do the achievement. You know, I mean, that's, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, if somebody's a trophy hunter, I mean, that is the most expedient way to do things.
Well, yeah, because, like, if you're a trophy hunter, like a true trophy hunter, whatever, you would be, like, you'd basically route out, like, the game before you even play, like, what you need to do and, like, what sequence to get these achievements so that by the end of the game you got them all.
Sure.
And instead, it's basically doing that routing for you, where it's, like, prompting you when, like, you can actually get these things, like, and it's just telling you instead of you having to, like, try and figure it out beforehand, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, I think it's, like I said, I think it's just really smart. It's one of those things where if you're going to be making like a complimentary piece like that, it seems to be looking at it from a game player's point of view. My only concern about it is how many third-party people are going to use it. You know, like, I imagine it's something that's going to go into every first-party title, like these type of features, but I'm not sure if that's something that's going to carry over to, like, you know, the Assassin's Creed Valhallas of the world. Are they going to make full use of this suite and do all this stuff, you know?
Well, I think the AAA titles will. I think, I think in order to, you know, be pushing this the way that they are, they got to have some type of negotiation with a lot of the other AAA titles to be like, look, like, we're putting the effort to make this user functionality easy for people to use, and we're touting this functionality. Like, please do something to make this, you know, something in your game. I think Spider-Man did a pretty good job with that in this last iteration with, like, doing some of the sound effects through your controller.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of hoping that some of the companies at least, follow that up. I mean, it seems like they're trying to make this as open of a platform as possible and give a lot of functionality to the developers. I just hope that the developers take advantage of it. I mean, ultimately, that's who it kind of falls down to. So it'll be interesting to see what this generation comes up with the technology that they have available to them.
Now, the other thing they were talking about a lot, and Shannon alluded to it earlier, so the thing they've started with groups in is they've kind of upgraded the entire package for groups in the PlayStation Network, and they seem to have taken a lot of pieces from, like, Discord and pulled it into groups, as far as, like, having, like, kind of static channels where you can have players that just are populated on that channel, and you can pop in and out of them as you play and chat and send media. Like, that was a new thing, was part of the share button. You can use the share button to take screenshots and video and send them directly to the groups. And then if you receive them, you can pin it to the side. Like, you can have the group open and pinned to the side, and it almost gives it, like, a Twitch looking type of interface where you have, like, a running channel on the side of stuff. But, like Shannon was saying, I don't know if I'd ever use that because I'm old and don't want things interrupting me while I play. But it's also extremely distracting to watch Shannon just gnaw the fuck out of his middle finger while I'm talking. I mean, I don't know what's going on over there, but
I got some shit in my finger. God dang it. Put me on blast, like, right in the middle of the
mail
show.
Mail clippers on blast. Yeah. You're the one doing it on camera, motherfucker. Like, what am I doing? Like, why am I the bad guy? Like that's not gross as hell. Like, I'm sorry.
It's like, bro, get a fucking pedicure.
That's for your feet, dude, isn't it? It's a manicure for your fucking hands.
Yeah, you.
I'll settle for a $5 pair of nail clippers. Can you just go that, maybe? Like, pocket knife.
I already got it. You can just fucking go, dude.
Something other than goddamn teeth, because, like, goddamn, that's gross.
See, if you had PlayStation groups, you could see this, like, tax transaction going on while you're playing Ghost of Tsushima.
I'd be able to take a screen cap of Shannon just fucking on his middle finger. And be like, oh, check this out, guys. That Pixel Life groups. Boom!
Like, three barfing emojis, and then Zach likes it.
Shannon just down here sprayed water everywhere. gonna have to call the amber lamps for Shannon. But yeah, no, it's you'd be sitting there playing some Ghost of Tsushima, and all of a sudden just popping up on the side, Shannon gnawing on his finger.
I do think it is good that you can divide your friend list into games that you're playing. So, like, if you have a specific group of people that you're playing certain games with, that's a pretty slick feature.
And also to piggyback on that, they're adding spoiler warnings to media. So if, like, all of us are playing Miles Morales and I'm further ahead and I send you guys a screenshot, it's going to tell you, hey, by the way, this could potentially be a spoiler. So it gives you the option to not send it, because, like, I might not know where Justin's at or Shannon's at in the game, but I'm sending you where I'm at, and you're like, shit, I don't want to see this because I'm not there yet. You know, that sort of thing.
Why would you do that, though, Zach? Like, why would you be that douchey guy who's like...
Maybe I thought you were in front of me. And I'm like, oh, hey, look, I finally got here. And you're like, fuck, I didn't get there yet.
Whereas me, it would, like, give me the warning that this could be a spoiler. And I was like, fucking dope. And I just send it anyway. Am I about to ruin this man's day? I'm like, right? Let's go.
As you're watching some shaky cam fucking iPhone footage of Tenet or some whatever movie you've just downloaded.
Exactly.
You're like, I'm not...
iPhones, do you want to talk about a company that does a pre-order right? Apple did their pre-order right for their iPhone 12 and the iPhone 12 Pro. Just saying. Just throwing it out there.
Did you get one?
Oh, yes. I was able to upgrade to a 12 with no problems.
What did you go from? The X?
Yes. I'm going from the X to the 12 Pro.
Did you take advantage of their trade-in?
I did.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know a few people are doing that. That seemed to be the right jump to go from the X to the 12. I have an 11. I really didn't see any reason to make the jump myself. Like, spotty ass 5G coverage isn't enough. Like, probably two more iterations, and I think the antennas will be good enough. But
no, I just wanted the camera, basically. I just want the increase in the camera functionality. Everything else is whatever. But the one thing that pisses me off about the iPhone 12 is the charging. Like, once again, they're messing with you with the chargers. So, and like, for some reason, they're deciding that they don't need to send you a charger in the box.
Are they still Lightning?
No, they're doing like the mag like charging, like the wireless charging.
Okay. But I mean, there's no charging port on there?
No, from my understanding, there is no charging port. There is just the mag thing on the back.
That seems crazy.
Yeah. I'll have to confirm that, but I think that's the reason why so many people are complaining, is because they're going to this new charging feature and they're not giving you a charger for it.
And then the next one, they're going to take away your volume up and down buttons, and then before you know it, there's no screen, and it's just, like, the bendable aluminum, and that's, like, what you get.
Yeah, it's just going to be something that's going to plug in your dome.
Yeah, they just give you, like, an 80 separate iPhone pieces, and you just get to build your fucking phone yourself. And you and your kid can hang out in the garage and put together your iPhone.
I mean, after you're done putting together your Lego sets of, you know,
right,
that you can slap together your phone. It's good times.
And he's like, Dad, do we need this piece? And it's like your Wi-Fi, and you're like, God damn it. Like,
it's all put together, and you look over, yeah, and he's holding, like, the screen. You're like, oh.
Yeah. Shannon looks at it, and there's, like, a potato, like, in the phone. He's like, damn it, not again.
Now, Justin, you're a Android guy, right?
Yeah.
So are you deep, but like, what flavor of Android are you? Are you a Google Pixel guy or a Samsung guy?
I've always been like a Note. Okay. For, like, the first phone I had was some weird, like, the first transition I made to a smartphone was like a Motorola, like, I want to say like Razr, but that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, but they just brought that back, so.
Yeah, it was like some sort of like just whatever smartphone. And then I got the Note 3, and I had that for like ever. Like, I had that for probably like 4 or 5 years. And then I dropped it in the bathroom, and it landed on the screen. And I was like, oh, no, no, no. And I picked it up, and the screen was fine. I was like, whew. And I pushed the button to turn the screen on, and it stayed pitch black. And I was like, I was like, fuck me, I guess. So then I've had the Note 8 now, and I've had that for a couple, like, a year or two. So usually have one until it pretty much, like, is unbearably slow or just completely dies.
Right. I wonder if that's kind of why, you know, like, the iPhone pre-orders, or even when the new Galaxies hit, like, if their pre-orders aren't such a big deal, because for a lot of people, the phones are just the phones. No, you know, like, I had my 7, and the only reason I upgraded to the 11 was it was the new one at the time when the battery on the 7 stopped working. Like, otherwise, I would still have the 7. There was nothing wrong with it. It's like, sure, I guess I'd like to take better pictures, but not for $1,000. I don't, you know, like, it's, I'm good. So, I don't know. But I think maybe that there's less demand than would be otherwise for like a new console, say, or something. Also, I think Apple and Samsung probably don't launch them until they know they have enough of them.
Yeah. Like,
we're gonna spend a year making these, so I have, you know, 20 million of them ready to go when I open the gates, that sort of thing.
Whereas Nintendo's like, all right, every store in the U.S. gets 6. Go.
Right. And here's a bunch of machetes and a couple shotguns. May the odds be ever in your favor.
Yeah. They're like, man, they're like, this Switch is $300, but a machete will only run you 20 at Ace Hardware. Let's go.
Well, that's like on Twitter I saw where like, oh my, I got my PS5 pre-order and it was black Air Max
shopping cart.
Yeah, black Air Max ones and some
ski mask.
Yeah, exactly.
Gloves.
Oh yeah, got my pre-order in. All right. Well, I mean, as far as news goes, there isn't much else. There was a thing where it turned out as part of this PlayStation UI, Sony, I guess, is going to be big brothering your groups the entire time. Like, they're going to be monitoring and recording groups always. And that raised a couple red flags. People are like, oh, that seems really bad that you're going to do that. And Sony had to get out in front of that and be like, no, no one's actively recording and monitoring this stuff. It's just so that if something happens, anyone at any time can make a 40-second recording or the past 40 seconds forward to file complaints against terms of service or whatever and sure, that's all sounds nice, but you're full of it if you're telling me that no one is going to be using that information. Like, they're like, oh no, please don't let us use all of this information we're recording all the time. In any way, like, no,
but that's... I mean, haven't they been doing that already anyway? Because, like, yeah. I mean, when you hit your share button on your PlayStation 4 right now, it's probably curating like 30 seconds of information before you hit the button. So I mean, I think you know, this is just something that's coming to the limelight now.
But the difference is now it's in the chat in groups. It's not your gameplay.
Oh, okay. So it's everything.
This is because now that groups are kind of like a Discord-like service, they're recording that all the time. And it's that's the thing where people are like, oh, so we can't just talk freely to friends and people? Like, you're going to be monitoring us always? And it's like that. So that's raised a couple red flags. Mm. But
so, I mean, like, when you set up a group chat with your friends, you're going to have to set it to, like, NC-17 rating so, like, you don't get right, shut down exactly. For saying stupid stuff.
Exactly.
Somebody's like, guys, you got to understand. Like, everybody already does this. We're just being upfront about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, you already signed your rights away on Facebook. Like, no, you already signed away on Twitter and Instagram. Like, it's cool. It's the new norm. It's all right.
That's the thing that makes me laugh. It's like the people that are expressing all this outrage on Twitter, A, they're on Twitter, B, on their smartphones, C, with a microphone, B, D, and a camera that they keep on their person at all times. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay. That's also a GPS device. So, sure. Like how paranoid do you want to be, you know? I still know one person that goes old school phone, no smartphones, no social media, none of that stuff for that exact reason. He's like crazy paranoid about people tracking him and knowing where he's at. And I was like, yeah, but bro, I know where you live. Like, it's not like you're hard to find. You know, it's like, geez.
Yeah, it's like, even though you're going through all those links, like, you still have his contact information in your phone, yeah. So they still know how to get him.
that he drunkenly gave to me for free in a bar, you know? Like, hey, yeah, I live here, come pick me up.
And he's like going, like, total Gone Girl. He's like, yeah, bro, I got 30 quarts of blood in the freezer just waiting to, like, make my escape. Like,
you know, just in case. Like, yeah. No, I don't, actually. What? But yeah, I guess as far as news goes, that's about what I got this week. Do you guys have anything you want to discuss?
The only thing that really popped up on the radar, like towards the end of the week, was a small article about GameStop getting some type of revenue from selling the digital, you know, the digital purchases for Xbox games. So I thought that was pretty cool that, you know, Xbox kind of throwing a bone to a dying like company to be like, hey, like, you know, keep your brick and mortar stores open so that we can peddle more of our wares. But, you know, here's some spending cash to keep you going. You know, I think that's kind of cool. I don't know what Microsoft's endgame is there. You know, other than maybe just GameStop being more of like a brick and mortar Xbox store that Xbox already has. Like, you know, I mean, they already have their own stores that they're peddling their wares at. I don't understand why GameStop is that big of a deal to them, but I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that, Zach? Like, I mean, you're kind of more the marketing guy on this one. Like, I don't know.
So the few things I saw seem to speak that it's more of a kind of a back-end deal to ensure that GameStop and the parent, the umbrella company of GameStop, not just the retail stores, but all of them kind of are buying into the Microsoft cloud service for business ends, not necessarily, and retail, not necessarily like, you know, end user type stuff, but the big mainframe type cloud shit. And my guess is that Microsoft still needs some sort of retail channel now that they don't have the Microsoft stores anymore. You know, the Microsoft store is now a digital only platform. They shut down all the retail brick and mortar locations. And I think they just want to keep that channel open as far as having a foothold in, you know, pretty much every town in America has a GameStop. So it's a good reach out. And by doing this, I think they just kind of ensure that GameStop's keeping their doors open for a little bit. And now, is this one of those things where they still need them in 3 or 4 years? And, you know, is it just a Band-Aid over the hole in the dam and it's just slow? It's just, you know, they're still bleeding out, but just not as fast now? Probably. But in the meantime, might it help Microsoft move a lot more Xboxes because there's a channel open to them until, you know, the next in 2 to 3 years when they offer the next Xbox that has a slight bump in graphics and processing power and all that crap, and then they don't need them anymore. Maybe. But it's a pretty unprecedented move for a game developer like this to essentially give a retail chain a lifeline. You know, by giving them a percentage, even if it's 1% of like digital sales, that's a lot. You know, when in the last year or two of this generation, retail sales has slipped under digital for the first time. That's only going to increase. So my question is, what does that make GameStop going in the future? You know, like if they're going to hardware and hardly any games, that's going to be really weird. I mean, does GameStop become a much smaller, like they're not big stores now, but do you make them even smaller? Maybe, you know, like, I mean, do you cut their size in half and they're basically like a storefront at this point?
They're like, going to be those little like roll around like kiosks in the middle of the store that you see at Chris or in the middle of the mall at Christmas time. Yeah, like yeah, totally. People, there's going to be like this dude selling drones over here and this other girl selling fake hair extensions in the middle. There's going to be a GameStop that's selling like Funko Pops.
Well, not even Funko Pops anymore. They're just selling. There's hawking, you know, Xbox Series S's like out in the middle of the mall, you know.
Dude, yeah.
I don't know. It's a very curious move, and it's one of those ones where I'm not sure if it's gonna mean anything in the end.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're just kind of keeping this thing on life support for a little bit longer. I don't see GameStop being around much longer. I know Robbie was like holding out on, you know, the new console launch, breathing a new life or like a third wind into their company, but like I just don't see this being a sustainable market for them anymore, especially with more things going digital and with like COVID being what it is and, you know, what it's doing to retail. Like, I don't see that being a solution for them much longer. So I just don't know, you know, what this is for, but it's a nice gesture. It's cool. Like, good for Microsoft being a good guy.
And it also would be a total Microsoft move to be like, yeah, no, we're going to do this on the gaming division side just so you'll buy this cloud-based processing service on the other side. You know, like, that's such like a Microsoft move. Like, no. We'll keep your business alive so an entirely different division can profit from it. You know, like, it's like, we need to close this deal over here on the cloud service. So if games could just keep you afloat for a little bit, so until I close this deal, would that work for you? I mean, I hope it's not that, but that would be really funny if it was. Justin, do you have any thoughts on that before we move on?
No, I think you guys pretty much summed it up.
All right, then. By the way, Justin, it's a stylish Animal Crossing shirt you've got.
Well, thank you. I know, Hot Topic had a sale not that long ago where it was like 20% off of like their entire online store, and they had a bunch of new Animal Crossing shit. So I got this shirt. I had a sweater like with a hood where it has the leaf logo on the back, and then it has the Japanese Animal Crossing, the original one, on the front, and then it has like some of the different villagers like down like the sleeves. And then I got a wood sign that's Nook Ink from New Horizons, and it's up nice in my office and stuff, so it looks nice.
I do you ever look at the Hard Times? It's kind of like Music Onion.
I've seen different articles.
One of my recent favorite ones was the nation's population of mall goths is slowly becoming Amazon Prime goths. It's like, just made me think of that. I guess we can move on to what we've been playing. And gentlemen, I was talking to Justin a little bit before the show. Good things, but bad things. Horrific things were some of the decisions I've made in the last couple days. Starting last week, I decided, you know what I really miss playing is like a good RTS. I haven't played a good RTS in a long, long time. And I mean, I got way into They Are Billions for a little bit, but then it's not what I really wanted. You know, it's more of a defense based game. And I wanted that build a huge army, go kill a bunch of things. And literally every new RTS I could find is the Dawn of War 2 style of like, here's five units and move them around a map and go kill things, which is fine. But that's not what I want. I want to build a massive base, bunch of units, whole tech trees fucking everywhere, and just let's roll. And I'm digging through, and like I keep reading all these reviews of different games that are like, oh, it's kind of like Warcraft, oh, it's kind of like Starcraft, oh, it's kind of like this, oh, it's kind of like that. And I realize, like, why not just reinstall Starcraft? I own Starcraft. Like, why don't I just play some Starcraft? So then I reinstalled Starcraft. and holy shit, you guys, the last 2 days I've played so much goddamn Starcraft and Starcraft 2. And it's really good. They have made a bunch of changes and adjustments over the last 5 years since I've played StarCraft II. And, you know, graphically, it's super impressive now. There's a bunch of new units that I haven't really seen before or messed with. And they've changed a lot of the units functionality-wise and, like, building times and stuff like this. But still, it took about 3 or 4 games and all that muscle memory started to click back in. And it was funny because they do the thing of like, oh, you haven't played in a long time. Why don't you play like 3 matches so we can figure out where you're ranked, you know, and that sort of thing. And I got through the first match and they're like, okay, we're going to bump you way up. And I was like, all right. And then so I get the next match and they're like, yep, still too easy. I went to the next match. And then finally, I wound up somewhere, it's like the level under whatever expert is or whatever is where they placed me before they let you go play other people. And Man, talk. It was like riding a bike, dude. It was just, it was like going home. StarCraft just with its warm arms wrapping me up, giving me a big old hug and smooch. Why don't they make more good RTSs like that? I don't understand. Like, what happened? It's like they made StarCraft 2 and they literally just stopped making real-time strategy games like that. Everything became that Company of Heroes, Dawn of War 2, four or five units and go thing, and I don't get how that took over. Like, I like big bases, and I cannot lie, you know?
It's all about that base.
Yeah, no units.
So, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I think, you know, Activision or Blizzard or whatever. Sorry, Blizzard.
And Activision,
kind of,
you're right.
Yeah. Just kind of saw money in other things. You know, they tried Overwatch, and that was a big success. You know, so I think it's something that they'll go back to when the wells run dry. But like for right now, they got like Diablo 4 coming down the pipe. You know, maybe Overwatch 2.
Thor Ragnarok style. Do they, though? Do they?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, but I mean, I think they'll come back to it sooner or later. I mean, it's got such a huge following. I don't see how they couldn't. Yeah. But, you know, it takes a lot of time and energy to develop that universe and those stories and those characters and the units. And, you know, if you got something that's striking, you know, that's still hot, like stick with it, you know. I mean, Grand Theft Auto has been doing that thing forever. I think they're just taking their time and they're just going to wait until they don't really have anything that's going to sell.
And maybe, you know, maybe the reality is like, I'm in a part of a very small market that still loves these games. Like maybe, I'm willing to accept that maybe the world moved on and I'm just still back here like, no, but this rules. Like, where did everyone go? This is awesome. But I mean, it's so good. Like, StarCraft is so balanced. It's so good. And it makes the problem with StarCraft 2, it makes other real-time strategy games very difficult for me to play because it is so balanced and it is so good. Like, you run into the walls in other games of balancing and unit cost and unit structure and map layout and all this shit. And it just makes me go like, fuck, why don't I just play StarCraft? Like, why am I messing with this? I should just go play some StarCraft, you know, which is what happened to me. And then I'm playing StarCraft. I'm like, yeah, they nailed it. This is perfect. I love this, you know? And I don't know. I fell down an RTS wormhole real hard. And I have to say, I'm very happy. I love real-time strategy games so much. It's just, you know, it's funny because I discovered Warcraft 2. God, I was 15, 16. First time I played Warcraft 2 on the PC and instantly loved it. Fell in love with it. Bought all the expansions. StarCraft hit, I think, my senior year of high school. Couldn't wait to play it. Rushed home. Played it nonstop. And I've just basically played every good real-time strategy game since then just because I love the genre so much. And, actually, the whole thing started for me. I'm going to take you guys on a little journey. I was about 13 years old, and on the Sega Genesis, they came out with a port of Dune, but it was Dune 2. Mm-hmm. But on the Genesis, it was Dune Battle for Arrakis. And it's a real-time strategy game on the Sega Genesis, and I got that game on a Friday night. I started playing it about 6 or 7 at night, and I saw the sun come up the next morning at 13 years old. I remember my dad walking by my bedroom, and I was still awake playing this game, being like, what is going on? Like, so it was like 5:30 in the morning, you know? And I'm like, what? I'm just playing. He's like, did you sleep? Like, you're still in your clothes, dude. Like, I'm like, nah, I've just been here. So yeah, like there's all the endorphin hooks, whatever it is, like just they dole out in spades for me in those games. So if anyone has suggestions of a real-time strategy game that's come out in the last 5 years that I should try, I am all ears for it because I've been looking and I don't want something that does the small unit thing. I want the big base, big army thing. And it's just, they're just not easy to come by. So if anyone's got one indie developed or something that, that slipped under the radar that you think I would love to check out, drop it on the Discord and let me know, because I eat this stuff up. But that's basically all I've been playing. It's taken over my damn life this week. But what about you guys?
Well, this week, let me see. I ain't played a damn thing. I did play some more Torchlight too. But what I did play is there was a Kickstarter that was started by, I think it was a company called Unstable Unicorns. They kind of make these strategy games that are kind of fantasy, but they're kind of also humor-based, like cute little characters that are going around murdering things. So I got this game from them called Here to Slay, and it's basically a pretty simple game to play. It's two to four players. Basically what you do is you get a hero, and there's three creatures that are out in the middle of the field, and your basic job is to accrue a team of characters and heroes, and then go out and fight these monsters and kill them. If you kill three of them, you win. Another way to win is to get all six classes of heroes. That will end the game as well. It's a pretty simple game to learn how to play. There are a couple challenge mechanics that will involve rolling some dice to see if you can play characters or not. When you attack a monster in the middle of the field, there's a number that's a fail number and a success number. So if you roll, like if you're going to attack a monster, there's requirements. So you need at least two heroes. One of them needs to be an archer. And then you have to roll an 8 or above to kill it. And if you roll like a 6 or below, you have to discard two cards or you have to sacrifice one of your heroes. So there's some strategy there. You can also play like magic cards that will like sandbag other people that are playing the game. So if they're rolling against a monster and they like get like an 8, which is a success, you can sandbag them and throw out a potion that'll give them like -2 or -4 to like their rolls. So like they have to sacrifice creatures.
Justin just woke up. He's like, wait, we're playing magic cards? Magic.
I know. It's what? Essentially like what it is, because it's like, you know, there's no casting cost, but you only get 3 points to do actions with on your turn. So putting down a hero is 1 point. Using a hero's action is 1 point. Attacking a monster is 2 points. You know, doing a magic spell or an artifact is another point. So it's really fun to play because there's a lot of like different mechanics to play, and like having a magic background definitely does help you with, you know, character like hero placement and artifact placement and what you're going to do to other people. I played it with my girlfriend this weekend. She kicked my butt. So I think I'm going to introduce her to magic as well and see if this may be a springboard for other fun activities. So yeah, that was Here to Slay. I think it's still on. You could purchase it now since it's out. I think it's like $24 for the starter pack. And I think it's $10 for the Rogue Pack. So, yeah, I would recommend getting it. It's a fun board game. It's a fun card game.
Awesome.
Justin, what are you playing?
So, I actually played some other games this weekend. The first one I played was Mario Sunshine.
Oh, my God.
Where's your soundboard? This is the perfect time for the soundboard. Yeah.
There you go. So I beat it. I beat the game with like, I think it was like 102 shines or something like that. Out of the 120, I still have, I think, like 4 more shines or whatever I want to get before I call it, before I'm just like done. But I did beat it. I loved it. I don't care what Shannon says. Mr. Platinum himself in the Discord backed me up, sent me a screenshot today, and tagged me in it, and he's like, I got your back.
Which is huge, because he, you know, can't get any platinum trophies for playing this. So
yeah, the only achievements he gets is the joy from playing Sunshine. That's all you get, and that's all you need. That's all you should want.
Joy.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Shannon. Dude. Shannon paid $60 for it. Spent like an hour playing it, and then was like, "Fuck it," and then bought it. Like
it's one of my biggest disappointments of 2020.
Yeah,
and that says a lot.
Put it on the stack with Astral Chain and Fire Emblem and everything else on the Switch you're never going to return to. Look at that face.
No, that's not true at all. Like, I am going back now. Like, I'm going to beat Torchlight pretty soon. And then when Torchlight's done, that's off my, like, backlog. Then I'm going to go back and finish Pokemon Shield. I'm going to finish that guy off. Then I'm going to go back to Astral Chain, and then I'm going to finish that guy off.
All right.
I'm calling it now. You will never play Astral Chain.
I did play Astral Chain. Yeah, I liked that game. Like, I don't know why I quit. Probably because there was some other shiny tchotchke that came out. But it's I enjoyed playing that game.
So,
like,
so here's the thing. You enjoyed playing that game, like, 2 years ago. Like,
hasn't been that long, has it?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't even look it up, Shannon. I'm gonna look it up for you.
Well, Shannon would type, but he's too busy gnawing on his fingers. So.
Oh, yes. Jesus Christ, dude! I put my finger to my mouth once, and you're just like, "Oh, look at this guy! He's fucking chewing on his fucking fingers."
You want me to start pointing out every time I see you do it?
Yes.
Okay. Because I will. And let me tell you, it ain't been once.
Dude, Shannon, if you had to guess when this game came out, what would your guess be? Like, give me a rough guess that you think Astral Chain released.
I'm going to say fourth quarter 2017.
Oh, August 30th, 2019.
Wait, really?
So, yeah, so it came out last year.
Oh, I thought it was 2018.
Nope, August 30th, 2019.
I take it back. I'm sorry.
You should be.
But it has been a year. It has been over a year, though.
Dude, it's been over a year. That's not bad. That's not like a bad time frame to go back and visit the game.
Okay, in the 8 months where you played nothing but like old RPGs in Animal Crossing, you never once thought, hey, maybe I'll pick up Astral Chain again. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't because I had...
you forgot it existed?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you give Shannon a break. You know, Astral Chain did come out end of August. Fire Emblem came out end of July. So Fire Emblem came out before Astral Chain.
It did.
And you can give two shits about that either.
That's not true, dude. I got like 3/4 of the way through that game.
No, I'm gonna back Shannon on that one, because we've all been there. Where, and this honestly, I'm not taking shots. This is that's one of those games where you're moving right along, and you feel like, oh man, this ending's got to be coming up any time now. Like, things are just moving, and then you realize, oh wait, I'm in the foothills still. The summit of this mountain is way the hell over there, and it just... Yeah, I've noped out of games like that myself, where it's like, I've got what I want out of this. I've got it. We're good. I'm not willing to put another 100 hours into this thing. So.
That's pretty much where I was with the original Xenoblade, the definitive edition. I got to that end area, and they were like, yep, you're not strong enough. And I was like, well, I'm going to go back. And they're like, nope, you can't go back. I was like, well, then I guess I'm not playing your game anymore.
Yeah, then I guess I'm done. All right.
Yep. Cool. Tight.
But yes, I beat Sunshine. I picked up, which is something up Shannon's alley, I picked up Inkenfell, which I believe it's also on Game Pass.
Oh, is
as
it?
As well, yes.
Ooh.
Right. It is a RPG, pixel art. I wouldn't say like the pixel art's like amazing, but it's good pixel art. Like, you know, it's not breathtaking, but like the story is basically you play as this girl who your sister went to this like witch academy, and which is Inkenfell, and some shit went down, and like you don't know where your sister is, and you haven't heard from her. So you go to the school to kind of like unravel the mystery and figure out like what happened to your sister, like, where is she, and you find out that you yourself also have magic powers and stuff, so it's, like, you, like, trying to figure that out along the way, along with, like, the mystery of, like, the school and, like, what's kind of happening, like, around the school, because, like, the magic is starting to, like, swell up and, like, affect other things, like, around the school and stuff, so you, like, interact with people and kind of help them with their, like, weird stuff that's going on because, like, the magic's kind of gone awry in the area. It's really cool. It's turn-taking, but combat, it plays a lot like Mega Man Battle Network. If you've ever played the Mega Man Battle Network games, okay. Where it's turn-taking, but you kind of move, like, it's kind of, like, grid-based, like, whatever, like, you can, like, move around. There's, like, a little area, and, like, you kind of move around, and you cast spells, and you don't have, like, MP or anything like that, since all the attacks are magic. It's all spells. So it's, like, you learn new spells, so you never run out of magic or anything. But then the first part of the game, it's just you. But then, like, once you start, like, towards the end of Chapter 1, you get, like, your first, like, party member, and I think you'll end up getting, like, one or two more. And then, you know, you can, like, kind of, like, boost each other and, like, do spells that kind of combo with each other and do stuff like that. But it's really fun. I've been enjoying it so far.
Nice. And how, like, what's the, not on Game Pass, what's the cost of
this? I think game? It's, like, $20, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
It seems to at least have a unique take on the story. Like, it's not your standard woke up with amnesia, don't know what I'm doing, you know, thing.
Oh, you mean right. The Final Fantasy story?
that is co-opted by, like, everyone ever for the last 30 years, you know? Like.
And so the last game I've been playing, which I actually picked up today, I think it came out on Friday, is called Crown Trick. And it's also on the Switch. Mm-hmm. I know it's on Steam. It's probably on other stuff too. But it is a roguelike, and the art is really pretty, and it plays a lot like Crypt of the NecroDancer meets kind of like Binding of Isaac, where it's kind of roguelike and like randomized and stuff, but when you move, everything else moves too. So it has that kind of strategy of like when you enter a room, you need to kind of like plot like how you're moving, and like you can see like enemy attacks like will become apparent like while they're charging and stuff, like you can kind of see on the ground like if you're in the line of fire for an attack and stuff, so you can kind of like blink out of the way or move out of the way. And like enemies have like some like shields where once you like shatter their shields, they have like breaking or whatever, where then they're like stunned for like two or three turns, so then you can just like wail on them and stuff. And you get, like, different weapons because it's, like, randomized. So it's, like, you have, like, your axe, which will swing all the way around your body. There's swords, which will either go in front of you or some, like, will, like, do kind of just the front. And then there's guns. And so the guns can shoot, like, three or four rows, like, in front of you and stuff. And there's, like, different drop rates. Like, there's, like uncommon and rare and, like, purple, kind of like the Borderlands color scheme of, like, rarity of different weapons that you get or artifacts that you get that like boost either damage or different skills. And you have like magic and stuff that you can do, and you get like, you can summon familiars and stuff to fuck shit up. And like the bosses are random. Like me and Megan were playing at the same time, and like each of us had different like first bosses, and she's like, dude, I've never fucking seen that boss. And then I'd get my shit fucking kicked in. I'm like, God damn it. And then you go to, like, this, like, hub world where it's, like, there's people you rescue. And then it does kind of, like, the Bastion thing where, like, once you rescue, they kind of set up their area in your little overworld.
I love it. I love it when games do that.
So it's, like, cool. Like, the one dude's, like, a banker and stuff. So you can, like, invest money with him. And you can unlock skill perks with him that make it so that, like, you earn more money while you play, and then, like, when you die, you, like, retain money and stuff up to certain amounts, and as you upgrade it, like, you can retain more money after you die and stuff, so each run, you'll actually end up starting with money instead of having to start from zero again. and it does like the Dark Souls thing where it's like healing instead of getting hearts and stuff. You only have like, you start with like one Estus flask basically.
Yeah.
And there's this chick that you save, and then like she's the first one you save, and then if you upgrade through her, you get like another Estus flask, and then it's like the Estus flask like heals for more, and then different stuff like that. So
I do I like want to watch you play games sometimes because you sound like the most chill person ever. Because anytime, like no matter what the game is, you'll talk about something like you just said, you're like, oh, that's a boss I've never seen before. And then you get wrecked and you're like, ah, damn it. You know, like where like most people are like breaking controllers and throwing shit. You're just like, ah, man, that sucked.
I was about to throw my Switch when I was playing Sunshine earlier because I was missing one of the 8 red coins, and it was under the fucking level, and I had to go under the level, and you have to like jump on these mushrooms and whatever, and I jumped off, and apparently the part of the mushroom I landed on did not have like a hitbox, whatever, so I just like fell off the level, and I was like, I am like, all right, I'm down to 2 lives, and then it like happens again. I'm like, I'm down to 1 life, and then I get the coin that I wanted, and then I'm trying to work my way back up, and there's the little switches where it's like you hit either A or B depending on like or B or X or whatever depending on where you are. If you're like hanging from the grate, you can kick it to then flip up, or if you're like hanging on it in front of you, you can punch it to then spin around. And I was hanging from one, and I hit the wrong button, so instead of kicking it up to flip up, I just let go of it, and I fell off the level. Oh, and I was like, dude, I'm about to chuck this fucking Switch right now. Like, and we had to go, like, grocery shopping anyway, so I was like, all right. So I still haven't even – did I beat – yeah, I got that coin, but I was just like, I was so fucking mad. I was unbelievably mad.
You're breaking my illusion, though, because it's just one of those, like, where – every time you describe it, you're just like, ah, man.
Well, because normally I am that way. Like, Sunshine was just the way, because it's like, I had it. I had it in the bag, and then it was my own fault, and I blew it.
That's funny. Well, all right. So I guess that's what we have been playing. So originally I had wanted to knock out 2 more years of the Marvel rankings, but I think we're just going to do 2017 this week. Because I'm kind of up against it a little bit. So that is 4 movies. And for the first time, gentlemen, I don't think we have a bad movie in this whole bunch. I don't know if anything is going to be lower than pretty good. So let's start with 2017's 20th Century Fox, Logan. Your thoughts, gentlemen?
I honestly, I thought it was great. For sure. I honestly don't think it deserves anything less than great. It was, you know, after...
See that look on Shannon's face? You see that look on Shannon's face? Like, he's coming for you. I can tell already.
It's like Deadpool proved basically that the R-rated model could work for a superhero movie. So then they were like, all right. Then they finally gave us what pretty much everyone's been wanting, was like, give me like... an actual, like, an R-rated Wolverine movie, and they did it, and it has, like, Patrick Stewart in it, and the little girl who plays X-23 was great in it, like, even, like, there's not even really, like, a lot of mutants or, like, anything in the movie, like, the story itself, like, if you took away everything, like, about powers or anything like that, it was basically, like, dealing with dementia, like, it was a good story, on its own, and then it's like, let's make a good story and then incorporate it into this old man Logan X-Men universe, and I thought it worked, and it was really good.
Shannon, your thoughts?
My friend, this is just where you and I differ.
I don't know. I think it was all right. You know, when I was expecting, like, a rated R Wolverine movie that was going to be, like, Hugh Jackman's last performance as Wolverine, I was expecting something that was going to be a little bit more, I don't know, like, a little less actual, like, bummer of a downer movie, and then, like, more of, like, a typical, like, Marvel movie where, you know, people go out in, like, a blaze of glory, like, saving, like, their whole team of people, or, you know, something like that. It just, and, you know, it just kind of went, like, this weird, different path that, you know, I wasn't, I mean, I, you know, I've had such a sweet spot for Wolverine and for Professor Xavier, like, not being, like, this feeble old, like, man who's, you know, dementia is causing, like, these, you know, riff. I forget, like, it's been a while since I've seen it, because I only saw this movie once. Like, his dementia was causing, like alternate realities, wasn't it? Like,
well, it was, like, causing, he kept him, like, in his own separate area. Like, he was losing control, like, of his power.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff, and, like, he couldn't control it, so Wolverine's basically keeping him kind of, like, you know, sedated and, like, away and stuff, and, like, isolated and stuff away from people, because Charles was, like, a hazard to everyone around him and himself.
Yeah, I mean, like, I felt it was all right, but it didn't leave any impression on me. Like, you know, it's, like, it's not one of those movies that, like, sticks out for me. It's, like, a movie I saw, and I was just, like, eh. And yeah, like, I don't know. I feel it could have been, like, it should have been a different movie. Like, from that was, and that's just my personal preference. Like, I think it was just, like, while the acting was good, you know, the story was smart and well written. Like, it didn't, like, sit well with me, you know, I guess because I was expecting a different movie. And that's not a fault of the movie itself, so I don't know if I can really be truly objective with placing this. So, like, I'll just let you two kind of figure it out, because, like, it was great, it was good. Like, I didn't hate coming out of that movie theater, but I think I was expecting something different, and I think that's what disappointed me.
Zach, who is also one of the co-hosts of That Pixel Life, since he didn't get to introduce
himself. Yes, yes. Zach Anderson here, co-host of That Pixel Life.
What did you think?
I'd put it in great. I see what Shannon's saying, and I agree. Like, I kind of went into this expecting a different movie, but I really appreciate the movie that they made. It's almost like an Oscar film, but with mutants. You know, like, it's got that level of gravitas to it and, like, seriousness. I wouldn't put it any lower than great, though. I mean, it's just so well acted. The story, for what it is very good, and they keep the runtime moving. You know, like, it, you don't have any, I never felt that, God, this is dragging. That feeling at any time, like, your watch checking, like, oof, okay, how much longer we got on this runtime? I never had any of those moments where, you know, with something like a X-Men Apocalypse, I think I was about 20 minutes into the movie and I'm like, ooh, how much longer we got on this? And I really want an X-23 film now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she's such a great character from the comics anyway, and the way they brought her, they introduce her and kind of she grows in the story as it's being told. It's like, yeah, that's a character you can build around. Like, give me that. I'm here all day for some X-23.
And it was a rated R movie, but mm-hmm. I don't remember much in there being, like, a necessary R. Like, you know, like, I sure. don't. I mean, and that I think that was a thing, is, like, I was expecting, like, Wolverine to be out there, like, just dicing people up. And yeah, I mean, there were spots where, like, he, yeah, like, wrecked shop. But, you know, I definitely thought it was going to be more of a, like, you know, when it had that R rating, that it was going to be a hard R, like, you know, not like, well, the.
Especially coming after, like, a Deadpool, mm-hmm. you know, where they just threw all the balls against the wall and were just like, let's do this. So, yeah, I see what you're saying, but it wasn't what I expected, but what I got, I really liked, mm-hmm. you know? So I would definitely put it in great.
Great it is.
All right, so in the great category, we have Ant-Man, Civil War, X-Men Days of Futures Past, X-Men First Class, Doctor Strange, Blade and Captain America, the First Avenger.
I'd put it in front of Blade.
I'd agree to that.
I mean, that's what I was thinking, but...
Shannon's like, I'd put it behind Amazing Spider-Man, but whatever.
Okay, so the next one I also would put in great is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. This is a movie I really, really like, but I find myself not watching it as often as I watch the first one. And I think the first one is just a much tighter story. It moves a lot better. It's just a lot more fun. Not to say that Guardians 2 doesn't have its moments, because it absolutely does. Like, some of the banter between Drax and Mantis is hilarious every time I watch it. The scenes where, you know, Yondu and kind of coming into the parent role, and you see how, like, that whole relationship develop are really good. Are really good and well told. The big reveal about his mom, you kind of see coming from a mile away, but it, I don't know. I didn't really care. I still liked it. I don't know. I would put it in great. Where do you guys fall on it?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you there. It's a good movie. I've actually watched it multiple times in the past couple days, because my son is really into Baby Groot.
Okay, sure.
So, you know, the introduction is great. I think they over humor. They basically tried to make Drax like this humorous character, and like, he works better when he's taking things literally, like, you know, like that kind of humor to me, like, really kind of is what made him likable in the first movie. Mm-hmm. I think in the second one they tried to make him a little too, like, jovial, because, like, there are just things where he's just, like, laughing, and his jokes are kind of very basic, like, you know, talking about, like, the size of his turds, and, like, yeah, he's, yeah, like, schoolboy level humor in that one. And so that kind of subtracted from a lot of the humor from it. The middle with, like, the ego, you know, fleshing out the ego story does kind of drag. I think that does kind of slow it down. So yeah, I mean, great is where it's at. Like, that whole end, like, battle with Yondu and, you know, that, how that story fleshes out is awesome. Like, I love that. I like the beginning of the movie too, you know, with the battle, for the batteries, and, like, the whole, you know, drama that goes around flying through the asteroid field with all the robots, like, or the spaceships, like, just converging on them once they get to the other side. Like, there's a lot of fun in that movie, but yeah, it does feel a little long in the tooth in the middle. Mm-hmm. Justin, what do you think?
I would also put it in great. I agree with, like, some of what you're saying and stuff. That was one of kind of traumas for me, was I do think Drax has some, like, really strong moments and stuff in this one, but I also think they, like, forced a lot of humor onto him, and not all of it necessarily stuck the landing. But there was definitely a lot of good moments in it, and, you know, Yondu's, like, storyline and stuff that they kind of, like, pushed out, and, like, you know, him getting kicked out of the Ravager, like, stuff like that, like, they really, like, fleshed him out more as a character and actually made you care about him and, like, really appreciate him, like, in the end, you know, with, like, the big fight being, like, a part of, like, the team and stuff, and him and Rocket's, like, moments and stuff were, like, really good. The soundtrack was another banger on this one and stuff. Really dug it.
I also thought it was pretty funny that Sylvester Stallone makes a cameo in it, and my girlfriend said today while we were watching it, she said that the performance that Sylvester Stallone gives in this movie is better than 90% of the movies that he's done through his whole career. I was like, you're not wrong.
The cool part, the part I really liked about that is Stallone's team is the original lineup of the Guardians of the Galaxy comic book. Like, if you go back and, like, read some 1980s Guardians of the Galaxies, which I did and still have up in my attic, that's that team. And I thought that was a really cool nod, because the Guardians of the Galaxy book that, you know, the movies are based off of was a relaunch in the late 90s. So it's just a cool like tip of the hat to the history. But yeah, so where are we putting this then?
Great.
So we have Ant-Man, Civil War, X-Men Days of Future Past, X-Men First Class, Doctor Strange, Logan, Blade, and Captain America.
I'd go in front of the X-Men movies.
I'd agree. Like, it's one of those things, as much as it pains me, like, put it in front of Doctor Strange, I also watch it way more than I watch Doctor Strange.
It's just, it's like, still so fun. It's still just really fun.
And it's one of those ones where it's one of the few I can say, like, usually they come in twos. Like, after I watch Guardian 1, I pretty much immediately watch Guardians 2 afterward. Yeah. Like, and exactly. I can't say that there's any other, honestly, I don't think there's any other Marvel movie on the list where after watching one, I'm like, all right, I need to watch this one next, like, right after it.
My only issue with Guardians 2, like, that actually bugged me once we got through Endgame. Where the fuck's Adam Warlock at? Like, they tease it.
Yeah, at the end of the movie, it's like
you leave me with these Adam Warlock blue balls. It's like, come on, man. I've been waiting this entire phase for Adam Warlock. You showed me the cocoon in the original Guardians. You tease they're making him in Guardians 2, and then nothing. It's like you go through the entire Infinity Gauntlet saga with no Adam Warlock. What the hell?
Dude, he should show up in Guardians 3, and then he's like, what happened?
Yeah.
Did I miss it?
They're like, where the hell were you? And he's like, oh, you see, what had happened was I was sleeping, so.
There's one loose thread over here that they forgot to sew back in.
Yeah, all right. So, Justin, why don't you tell me what you would do with Spider-Man Homecoming?
So I really liked Homecoming. I would honestly say, and that's what's weird, is I've never really been a huge Spider-Man person, but Homecoming was Marvel's first Spider-Man movie. I really like the fact that they didn't retell the same origin story that we've gotten multiple times in the past. They're like, you know, Uncle Ben dies, he gets bit by a spider, we're not going to show you that. Like, they jump us into it where he's already Spider-Man, and you know, I thought that was great. I love the fact that you know, Tony Stark's basically his mentor and stuff, and they, I guess, like, officially or unofficially, whatever, said that, you know, in the one Iron Man movie, the kid at the Stark Expo thing was Peter Parker and stuff, that was wearing the Iron Man helmet or whatever that he saved.
Yeah, yeah.
So if that's true, you know, that's like a nice kind of like little touch and stuff like that. The villain, I thought, in the movie was great. Like, Vulture looked cool. Like, I like the fact that it was a suit, but it wasn't, like, a mecha suit. Like, they didn't do some, like, Silver Samurai, like, giant mecha bullshit, like, whatever. It was, like, a more believable kind of thing. And, like, you know, the argument kind of, like, well, are the heroes really the heroes kind of, like, argument and stuff. So I honestly would put it in great. I thought it was a good movie. What do you think, Shannon?
I love this movie, and I would put it in, to me, I would put it in God tier, because it was a good revival of the Spider-Man character from the previous two iterations, where, you know, they were having problems with, you know, hitting their stride. I think with this one, they had you know, Marvel had finally gotten him back from Fox, and they were able to work him into the story, and, you know, flush out a story that was unique. I like the way they introduce him, because he does that, like, home video footage in the beginning of the movie where, like, you know, he's, you know, going to fight in the Civil War movie, and he does that whole, like, thing. And, you know, it's a breath of fresh air. Like, it makes you be like, okay, am I going to have to sit here and watch a stupid, like, recap of a story I've already seen? Like, it's got the Batman syndrome, right? Like, you've seen you've seen Peter Parker stories many times as you've seen like Batman stories. So I'm just glad that they went with a fresh take on the whole introduction of the character. The twist, you know, with regards to the villain and, you know, how he interacts in his school life and, you know, the whole way everything is set up is brilliant. That whole sequence in the car where they're having the dialogue between each other, like, gave me goosebumps. Like, you know, you could tell that there was tension there. Sure. And
it's a fabulous scene.
Yeah. Like, such a great scene. Like, the whole thing, like the battling, the vulture costume, like when I first saw the previews for it, I was like, oh man, I hope they nail the villain. Cause like the vulture, like, you know, when I always remembered him, he was like this dude in like he was either drawn as like half vulture, half human. And like the only thing that was human on him was the head, or like the, you know, the other iterations were, it was just like a lame costume. So this one kind of nailed it for me. Like, it was equal parts, like, mech, but, like, also, like, still terrifying and, like, human. So, like, honestly, like, all the way around, I thought this movie was great. Like, I'll watch this movie all the time. Like, no problems. Like, I don't see any issues with it. Like, I like watching this movie. And I'd put it in God tier. Easy for me.
I don't know if I'd put it in God tier, but I do like it a hell of a lot. Can I make a suggestion? How would you guys feel about dropping Amazing Spider-Man down and putting this towards the front of great? Because Amazing Spider-Man we have in great, right?
No, Amazing Spider-Man we have in pretty good.
Oh, okay. I thought it was at the back end of great.
No, back end of great is Captain America.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I don't want it in the same tier as Amazing Spider-Man, because that's bullshit. Like, it's way better than Amazing Spider-Man. What's God tier?
So, God tier is Captain America Winter Soldier, Iron Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers, Deadpool, Blade 2, X-Men, and Spider-Man 2.
Fuck.
Dude, I would put this in front of Blade 2.
Yeah. But is it better than Spider-Man 2? Like, Doc Ock is so good.
Doc Ock is great.
That's my hang up. Am I saying this is better than Spider-Man 2? That's like where I'm hanging up on this, you know?
I think so. I think this, because I mean, like, Doc Ock is what makes that movie, right? Yeah. Like, but like, if you take him out of that movie and you put in a different villain, that movie sucks. And I would say that, like, if you took, like, certain elements out of this movie, you would still have a great movie. Like, I don't think, to me, I think this all around is, like, a good, solid movie. Like, just beautifully done, beautifully shot, beautifully written. Like, what's his name? Tom Holland, like, is a great Peter Parker.
All right. How about we put it in front of Spider-Man 2? Simply because Spider-Man 2 has the mystery car that gets thrown through the window that we haven't heard. How about that?
All right, I'll take it.
All right, so Spider-Man, God tier.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Now, this one, guys, I'm going to be very bullish on to be towards the front of God tier. It is a tie between this and the last hour of Endgame for what I have watched the most on streaming in the time of quarantine. I watch Thor Ragnarok all the goddamn time.
That movie is awesome.
And it is great every time I watch it. Every time I watch it, Thor Ragnarok. I don't know if there's a more fun Marvel movie, like, beginning to end. I think Hela is great. Loki's turn is great. The play in the beginning with Matt Damon as Loki is fantastic. Sam Neill as Odin, it's just glorious. Idris Elba is amazing as Heimdall in this, and I just love the movie. It's so good. And I think it's the movie that kind of makes Thor such a big deal in the MCU, which is funny because it's the third movie and Thor's been around a while, but he was kind of always just this ancillary character that, you know, people would bounce stuff off of. But this is the movie where they kind of figured out what to do with him. They figured out, like, oh, we have this actor who's playing Thor, who's a really good comedic actor. Like, he's got all these comedic chops. Let's just let him cook a little bit. And they do. And it's fantastic. You know, the whole battle scene with him and Hulk, where he doesn't know he's fighting Hulk until he bursts through, is great. And it's also great because, you know, Hulk comes through and Loki has this look on his face like, oh, shit. And the first time you see it, you realize it's like, oh, he's going to blow my cover because Hulk knows me. And the reality is Loki's like, oh, no, Thor's going to beat him. Like, that's why Loki has that look on his face like, shit, I know Thor can beat this guy. Damn it. You know, like that's really the look on his face. And but they do such a great job that, you know, the whole bridge sequence is one of the most fantastically shot things in the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, just the way when Led Zeppelin kicks in, the fireworks are going off on the ship and, you know, the Valkyries walking up with their sword. It's glorious. And then Korg shows up like, hey, you guys want to get into the spaceship and get out of here? It's great. Every time. Fabulous. I'm very bullish on Thor Ragnarok, definitely towards the front of God tier. What say you, gentlemen?
Justin, you go first.
I do think out of the three Thor movies, this one, I completely agree. It's definitely, it's not, no contest. It's the best of the Thor movies. Thor's personality in this one was like what kind of set it, like, it, compared to the other two. I completely, like, he had, like, there's so many good moments in this movie. Like, it made Thor, like, pretty much going forward after this movie, they finally, you're right, they figured out what to do with him. It was the closest thing that we were ever going to get to, like, a Planet Hulk. Like, then the fact that they, like, kind of incorporated elements of Planet Hulk, like, into this, I thought was great.
Totally, yeah. Great callback.
Yeah. You know, just, like, and just even, like, the little rant, like, you know, fucking Jeff Goldblum being in it and stuff was great. And Loki had a lot of good moments and him, like, you know, just, of course, being, like, just making fun of everything and just being an asshole, like, the entire time and betraying Thor and friends, like, time and time again. Yeah, I would definitely, if it, for me, I was, like, I would have probably put it more towards, like, the front of great, but I could definitely see the argument for putting it into God tier.
This is me shaking my head, Justin. This is
I'm just saying, like, it's like I'm looking at, like, what's in God tier, and it's like, you know, like,
yeah, and it's better than all of it. Like, yeah, I totally agree.
Better than all of it. Better, like, better than Guardians 1.
I see, that's probably where I would put it, is right either behind, in front or behind Guardians 1.
Because your first three are Winter Soldier, Iron Man, uh-huh, which I know Iron Man's also, like, your shit, and Guardians 1.
I'd probably put it behind Iron Man if it was me.
Wow. All Shannon, right. Well, what about you, Shannon?
I mean, it's good, but I don't know if it's that good. I agree with you. No, dude, I don't know. Like,
yeah, reel us back in, Shannon.
I love that movie. It's like, I don't know if we get that movie if the Dark World doesn't bomb as, or like, do as poorly as it they were expecting it to. I don't know if I would put it that far up in God tier. Like, you know, Hulk in that one is kind of childlike, like, simple in a way. Like, you know, the while the interactions they have with him are funny, it still kind of seems like he should be a little bit older, you know, a little, I mean, he's inside the body of a genius. Like, you would think he shares his brain. Like, he would have some type of
ability. Been introduced to the character of the Hulk before. Like, you know how yes. the
Hulk works. Like, I know, but, you know, like, they introduced, like, Professor like, Hulk, you know? Like,
you get him for, like, a quarter of the movie. Then it's Banner. You know?
Yeah, I know. I'm just throwing it out there. I get it. Like, this is hands down the best Thor movie. And I like the comedy they brought to it. It's like they knew going into the final phase of like this Marvel like fate, like this first, you know, 10-year span, they knew it was gonna get pretty heavy, and they wanted something that was gonna be a good palate cleanser for you going into those last couple movies. So, you know, they did a great job. Like, if I'm going to watch a Thor movie, this is the one I'm going to watch. I don't think it belongs above Guardians in God tier. I would probably put it. I would probably put it behind Spider-Man Homecoming, like, but in front of Blade 2.
What the hell? Like, this is such a better movie than Spider-Man.
I don't think so. Like,
hands down. Like, it's not even close.
So, okay. So, let me tell you. So, God tier is Captain America Winter Soldier, as it is right now, is Captain America Winter Soldier, Iron Man, Thor, Guardians, Avengers, Deadpool, Blade 2, X-Men, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Spider-Man 2.
See, I'm not going to put it in front of Deadpool.
See, that was me. I would see. That's where I was thinking. I was thinking like behind Deadpool is where I was gonna put it.
God, guys, you're just killing me.
But it's God tier, and it is. It's in front of four other movies in God tier.
Okay. I'll do behind Deadpool just because I can see I'm not gonna win this fight. Mm-mm. But do I need to remind you that when the fireworks go off, Jeff Goldblum is then recorded singing, "It's my birthday!" Once the fireworks go off, like, come on! This is glorious.
No.
That sway you at all?
Nope.
All right. Behind Deadpool. That's fine. I'm not happy about this.
I mean, Deadpool just has so many funny moments that just make me, like, if you're looking at comedy, like, Deadpool is going to be a hard comedy to beat, like, for me.
Well, and Deadpool does have the X gonna give it to you scene at the end, which is glorious. I admit. You know, fun fact about that scene? That was supposed to be, like, this huge shootout between their group and Francis at the dock, and then right at the last minute, the studio cut $7 million out of their budget. So that's why they filmed the scene with them bringing all the guns, and then they're like, "What if the taxi driver just drives away with all the guns?" I was like, "That's awesome. A really good fix."
I was gonna say that's even better than having the full firefight. I think that just
exactly.
It's kind of like Indy being sick in that whole like sword fight that they were gonna do in Indiana Jones, and instead he just pulls out his gun and shoots the guy because he was. Sick with pneumonia or something at the time.
All right. Now that I'm thinking about it, Negasonic Teenage Warhead is amazing. I love her. So, okay. I'm back in. All right. Behind Deadpool. That's fine.
Yeah.
All right. So we knocked out another year. We'll roll on 2018 next week, but I've got to cut it tonight. And that's the show, I think, guys. We've done it yet again.
Yay.
The 112th time. How about Shannon, do our outro, please.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to another amazing episode of That Pixel Life. Yes, please amazing. Do us a favor and, you know, peddle us to your friends and wares. We're actually trying to grow our numbers a little bit more. So, you know, if you have a friend that maybe is lonely and needs three dudes in his ear, you know, why don't you just pass us on to them? And it'll be like on the sly. It'll be great.
We'll give them a nice warm hug like StarCraft gives me. It'll be great.
Yeah. If you like to listen to this voice for 3 hours, it's great. but anyway.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah. So also leave us reviews. It helps us, you know, it bumps those rookie numbers up a little bit. We get put on those boards on iTunes, and they, you know, push us out to other people. So please do your part to help us out, help us grow. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us through our Discord channel, the Facebook groups, kind of on life support. We don't know what we're going to do with it yet. Other than that, as Robbie would say, Justin?
Guys, be great.
I thought you were going to do it in a Robbie impression. You just ruined it for me.
That makes it even better, then.